into Revelation chapter 3. We're following this series of messages that are circulated around in the area that we now know as Turkey, messages delivered from and by the risen Lord Jesus. And the message to the church at Sardis is the shortest of the seven, and that's because there's not much to commend them. And right from the beginning, you'll see in verse 1, there is a concern, a complaint about their reputation. I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Last Sunday morning, the word focus was on toleration. This morning, the focus is on the word reputation. They seemed to be alive and lively, and yet some were dying and some were dead. I've mentioned here before a little chapel that I preached in where there were just three or four people at the back. All the windows were blackened with the cobwebs. I was just on my own in the vestry before I came into the church, no one to greet me, and yet in the vestry there was this notice: preach as a dying man to dying people. And I was very tempted to write on there, too late, too late. They had a reputation. They seemed to be alive. They put on a good show, whereas in fact they were failing. So you'll see that verse 2, they have to wake up. And that's always a good line for a preacher. Wake up! And I might repeat it later on if I see you nodding off. Wake up. What are they to wake up to? Well, they're falling short in the eyes of God. However they look to other people, however they imagine they are in their own eyes, they're falling short in the eyes of God. So we have these two ideas. One is the idea of your reputation, and the other is the idea of your character. So let's just see that in that first slide. So the word that's used here for reputation is that they had a particular name. They were known for certain things. They were known by a particular name. Alive and yet dead. So what is there in a name? Well, we've come through a week or two of people presenting their character, or in fact trying to hide their character and to present their reputations. People who have been, as it were, parading themselves, seeking to have a good reputation in order to go forward for leadership. But let's not start with men. Let's start with the fact that God is very jealous for his reputation, for his name. We know that in business, companies are very protective about their reputation. Their reputation can take years to build, and yet it can end disastrously just in a few minutes, literally. Something can go wrong and their whole company can come crashing down. And so our name and our character, both individually and as a church, is about everything that we are, everything that we say, everything that we do. At the moment, there's this dispute, isn't there, about whether personal character should be overlooked, and that people should go by people's reputation in terms of what they can or what they can't achieve. Well, it was an American evangelist who used to quote this saying, "If I take care of my character, reputation will take care of itself." And that was Dwight Moody, the American evangelist. And can I say how vital it is for Christian leaders to take care of their character? How disastrous it's been in our lifetime to see religious leaders caught out, found out, because their character, however they may have presented themselves, has been undermined by the things that they do. And so we're to be watchful. You'll see that as the wake-up call in verse 2. We need to take care because we live in the age where image seems to be everything. We can airbrush photographs. We can employ people who can train us in our personal presentation. We can try and manage and manipulate by public relations. But the issue is, how are we seen in the eyes of God? We need to be watchful, and we need to be faithful. As you read on through these verses, yet you have a few people who have stayed faithful. So not looking just for the impression that we make in the words that we use, not good looking or looking good, but that genuine service of the Lord, that integrity, that honesty, that genuineness in the way in which we not only hear, as we'll see in a moment, but we respond to what it is God is saying. So what is this genuineness? Well, we've heard right through this series that the problem in virtually all the churches is that they compromise with the culture and with the values of people around them. So this being alive, then, is much more than just going through the routine of attending a church. Maybe church numbers are growing. Maybe we give a good impression. But it's not enough just to go through the religious activities. Neither is it good enough to be very busy in what we do if what we do is for ourselves, that is what we want to do, instead of seeking what it is the Lord wants us to do. It's not about holding to what people say. It's about what people do. And it's not about the way in which we rate our own righteousness. It's about where our righteousness truly comes from in being in Christ. So be careful. And be careful not only for your own character and reputation, but be careful about the reputation of other people. How many of us have met many of the people that we complain about, the people that we're seeing on the television, the people who present a particular image, a people who may well have others around them who take care of the way in which they appear to other people? What is it we see and hear of other people when we know that we're hearing the things that fit in with our own ideas and views and thoughts and even our prejudices? Those all go in to this question of reputation and other people's reputations. And again, how sad if in a church, that issue that James refers to, the use of our tongue, particularly with regard to gossip, is used to ruin and destroy or undermine other people's reputations. We need to be careful. And in being careful, we need to be aware of the fact that someone may look good and yet be bad. Someone may look bad and in fact be good. Their reputations may be deserved or they may be undeserved. And we'll just see that. If you look at good at the top and bad at the bottom, and if you look at true on the left and false on the right, then you'll see that there are at least four possibilities. That is, someone may genuinely be good. That is, not only do they say things, but they do things, and they do them from the right motives, and therefore they're rightly known as good. But what about people who are wrongly known as good? People who give the appearance. People who tick all the boxes. People who are high up on this league table that we have when we decide who is a good Christian and who isn't, who is right for leadership and who isn't. How do we judge other people? Of course, at the end of the day, what this is telling us in Revelation 3 is not our judgments that's important. What's important is that God knows your deeds. I have found your deeds incomplete. I see, I know, I will, says the Lord. Because there are, we know, some people who are bad, and rightly that's the case. What they say and what they do and all that they are in their character. What about those other people who have a reputation, or we give them a reputation? We think of them as somehow inferior or second class in their living for the Lord, and yet we make that wrong assessment because we're going by our own human assessment. Be careful, not only about your character, but be careful about the reputation of other people. They're very precious. Someone has said a man's reputation has been appropriately compared to a sheet of white paper. Once the paper is blotted, it can hardly ever be made to look as white again. That's true for us. But what's amazing about the fact that what God sees, as he sees it in all its filthy rags, and again you'll see later on in this chapter, the people who have been faithful are described as people who have not soiled their clothes. They walk with me dressed in white. The amazing thing is that God, who sees all that's dark and sinister, all that's pretense in our lives, he can make us white. And if we attack other people's reputations, Jez touched on this last time about the difference between judgment and being judgmental, that if we attack other people's reputations, very often we're actually attacking our own. So what is it we're being asked to do? We'll see just in a moment some very clear things that Jesus wants us to do. In this quote, it's reminding us that we can say sorry a million times. We can say I love you as much as we want. We can say whatever. But if you're not going to prove that the things that you say are true, your words don't mean a thing. Then this quote, live in such a way that if somebody spoke badly of you, no one would believe it. And if that sounds familiar, you'll see something very similar in 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good works and glorify God on the day he visits us. And then again, this other quote, you can't build reputations on what you are going to do. It's about what you do. And so in Timothy, when he's giving counsel about helping people who are widows, he's talking about their reputation, a reputation for good works. What kind of good works? Bringing up children. Showing hospitality to strangers. Washing the saints' feet. Has she assisted those in distress? Is she devoted to every good work? So let's just summarize then from verse 3 what it is God is wanting us to do. Remember, therefore, what you have received. Just think of all that God has given you. Remember what you've heard. Just think of all the words that have been spoken from God's word. But then remember to keep them. Remember to obey them. Remember that what we do in the sight of God. And then this is the way in which we're going to finish this morning. We're called to be repentant. What reputation do you have in God's eyes? Alive? Or in reality, is that a pretense? Clean or unclean? Are you one of the few? Are you one whose name, whose character, whose reputation is secured in heaven itself? And as you answer that for yourself, remember that this is a word that's written to a church. So what part do we each one play at Wantage Baptist Church, in our reputation, in the church's reputation, but more importantly, in God's reputation in this community? So we'll just bow, and in a moment we're going to sing